you for the love that is in this house. Thank you for what you're doing with the buildings and things that we're doing, that we are sowing seed, not for us, but for the future. We're sowing seeds for the kingdom. We're sowing seeds for that young family there in Venezuela who lost the little toddler. And Father, for those around the world that are suffering in China and other countries, they're suffering. And you've called us to be givers. You put us in a land of plenty, not to be selfish, but to be givers. And I thank you that this is a giving congregation, and we serve a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave. And I thank you for giving us Jesus. Father, this message, I ask that you help me to articulate it. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross that no man would see me. No man would remember my name. Don't even remember the name of this church. But to remember the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We honor you and we welcome you into this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The word of the Lord to me said this. He said, wake up, O inhabitants of the earth. Recognize and realize judgment is here. The recompense of your labor of sin is here. Your payday for rejecting my truth has arrived. Wake up, O inhabitants of the earth. Bow down in dismay and look towards your Creator, and I will respond with my grace. But you will not. You refuse to let go of the gods of Egypt, the idols of Babylon, the gold and the silver of your false gods. Awaken out of your slumber. Arise to my cry of repentance. But you will not. You slay my prophets, you shun my watchmen, and you refuse my preacher's plea. But your hour is coming, says the Lord. A shaking is coming that will shake the earth to its core. The soul of man will know right well that he has crossed the line of no return. Where will you be when the shaking begins? Be found in me. Be found in me. Very sobering words. Please pray over them as always. Take it to the Lord and ask the Father to speak to your heart concerning the hour that we're living in, concerning this message prophetically and what I'm going to preach to you here this morning. The title of this message is called Red Line. Red Line. The point of no return would be your subtitle if you are taking notes and you write these things down. The red line, red line. As we know, red line deals with pushing something to the maximum, especially in a car. If you ever watched racing or dragsters or rode with a friend on 85 headed to Atlanta or wherever. Red line, pushing things to the limit. We're living in a society, we're living in a nation, we're living in a world where we're pushing the red line, the maximum in life. You look at the landscapes of the nations of the world and you see the headlines and you see that it looks like man has totally lost his mind. I mean, every day the news gets weirder and wilder. You're waiting for the next shoe to drop. You're saying to yourself, what in the world? What could be next? What's happening here? It's the red line. We're maxing out this world. We're watching the words in red of the Lord Jesus Christ come to pass and be manifested right before our eyes. And there is no doubt the hour that we're living in. But even though you and I see these things and we tell our friends and we tell our family, they still look at us like deer staring at headlights and a calf staring at a new gate. They look at you like, What'd you say, Willis? And they think you're from another planet and that you've lost your mind, or maybe you're listening to that guy in Livonia. But either way, it's happening. And there is no true way to deny the facts except to just completely ignore them. And so a powerful beginning to this message, red line, the point of no return. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. We found Jeremiah. He was exactly where he's always been. Jeremiah chapter 28. I've got a lot of information to give to you today, and I'm going to hit a lot of different places this morning. So I ask for you to be attentive this morning, because my heart is full today. I'm full of the grace of God. I'm full of His love, full of His joy. But I'm also full of the warnings of God in my heart for what's happening, that the things that we can see. You know, it's one thing to stand up and prophesy and say things that are so far into the distance and so far into the future, but to recognize and realize things that are happening almost immediately is a very troublesome thing. Not that believers ever worry in the sense of what tomorrow will bring. It's just the fact of how rapid things are transpiring. I don't like using the word scary, but for the world, they would say it's almost scary. But for us, Jesus already warned us. So I wanted you to go to Jeremiah chapter 28, because the Lord took me there concerning the spirit of Hananiah. We remember Hananiah. We spoke a lot about Hananiah in this house concerning the false prophets and the lies and the deception that is spun in our churches and in our political arenas to get us captivated to continue to march forward with an agenda, to march forward with a plan and propaganda that brings us out of Scripture and onto the script of what has been told to us so that we would stay in tow and stay in line. How many of y'all know that's a fact? There is a narrative that is false that is put upon a people in order to keep them in check and keep them in line with where the status quo is going, where the state is going, and where the narrative will end according to their plans that is opposite of the Word of God. In other words, there is truth that is found in Scripture, and then there is the noise outside of Scripture that does not lead to the path of righteousness, that does not lead to kingdom principles, but leads to destruction, because it is birthed out of the minds of men and unregenerated, uncircumcised hearts. And so this morning I have the assignment to push all of the deception away and get to the very bare facts of where we are prophetically in the world today, according to the Word of God. But we got to deal with Hananiah. So Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1, and it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people saying. So Hananiah was given a platform. Let me begin by saying this morning, because you have a platform, because somebody has a microphone and someone has a blog and someone has a camera and someone has a YouTube channel and somebody has some form of ability to speak to people besides their family and a dog, does not make them a truth speaker, does not make them somebody that walks in absolute authenticity and transparency and revelatory knowledge. Just because somebody stands up before you doesn't mean they're speaking truth. But we live in a society that all we have to do is see them on the silver screen, see them on a blog, see them on a YouTube channel, read something about them, and we believe that they are speaking the truth without studying for ourselves. I've said it many times in the body of Christ, one of our greatest issues and problems is we do not have Bereans anymore in the body. We don't have people who study the Word of God. We have bobblehead Christians. Bobblehead Christians, the one to go, amen, amen. Have no idea what the preacher is saying. Have no idea of the words that they are articulating. Have no idea of the subject matter, but they shout and they run around and they throw money in the basket and they do all kinds of crazy Christian calisthenics and they have no idea they're being led by a charlatan. Woo. Getting really quiet in this Catholic monastery. It's a fact. It's a fact. And we are watching it take place and transpire in our lives in real time. And even as I speak from this pulpit here in Livonia, Georgia, there are preachers that are leading their people astray by preaching doctrines of devils and humanistic philosophy that leaves you flat. It keeps you from the purposes of God. It keeps you from preparing for what is taking place in the nations of the world and keeps you in a political circus. I was telling Jennifer this morning, I said, I'm getting so tired of politics. I'm just so tired of all the political craziness, and it's only going to get worse because it's an election year. We're just going to hear it more and more and more, and the drama will continue, and it's designed to keep you out of the prophetic and to keep you out of your relationship with God and to put your trust in a man or a woman and put your trust in an organization and a mechanical solution. I encourage the church during this season, this circus, to keep your heart and your mind focused on God. Because if you don't, they're going to drive you crazy. They're going to make you more nuts than you already is. Is anybody here today? It's going to absolutely drive you insane until they get everything they want out of the folks. And they're still going to put who they want in the house. Is anybody here? Hananiah, let's go. Hananiah. So he's there. He's there. He's in power. He's in power for the moment because he's speaking. And he so-called had the prophetic word. I'm going to tell you, as many people that say that they are prophetic are not prophetic. They're pathetic. The more and more I'm in this thing, the more and more I read prophetic words and blogs and different things, I realize that they're more pathetic and they have no realization of the relationship with God. And there's very few that bring forth a redemptive word. And more than that is they don't bring forth a word that causes you to go and get closer to God and study the word. I'm not against all prophecies. You know that I have a lot of great friends in the community, the prophetic world. But the point is, those on the fringe and those that are trying to make a name for themselves and trying to get subscribers on the YouTube channels, leading people astray. Let me tell you something. When you preach the gospel, it is designed to draw people to God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He's a drawler, not a pusher away. And so Hananiah was this type of person. He had his ministry. They gave him a platform. The next thing you know, he begins to prophesy. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. So here is Mr. Hananiah, Prophet Hananiah. He's got his platform. He's got his peeps. He's got everybody listening to him. And he stands up and he begins to say, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, history tells us that the prophetic word came to Israel and came to Judah, came to them and said that they would go into bondage. 70 years you would be in captivity. But remember, they had a new king. They had a chosen one who was taken into captivity. You remember him? And they thought to themselves, how in the world could this be? Because we have the right person in power. We had the right person in position. We had all of these things that pointed towards us being victorious in our future, and the best was yet to come. And because they were desperate to hear a word that turned their hearts towards the kingdom and towards the whole understanding of making their nation great, they followed after a false narrative. And they were ripe and they were ready to receive a word of deception. I believe that is so in America as it is in different places of the nations of the world, that things have been so negative that anybody that comes along and says something positive to you, that will seem like a prophet. To you, that would make sense. To you in the American mindset, that's the way it's supposed to be. To you, that's the way you would draw yourself and move yourself towards, because it is positive in nature. But the word of God prophetically speaks of a future that is negative. Hold on now. I'm going to take my time. So if you know, I'm just getting in the saddle. I got one leg in. If you really look at the word of God in the reality of humanity and the nations and what is coming upon the face of the earth, it is a negative scenario. But the power of the gospel gives me hope in the midst of negativity. It gives me hope in the midst of hell breaking loose. It gives me the stability and the anchor and the lighthouse to see the way during a darkened time. But the American preachers, the American Gospel Incorporated, the American Gospel Enterprise teaches another version of the last days in order to keep the people mesmerized and to keep their attention focused upon what they are doing. Instead of looking into the reality of what God is saying and preparing yourselves and getting your combat boots on and getting your armor ready and getting your weaponry ready, which has nothing to do with sticks and stones and knives and guns and bullets, but has everything to do with the armor of God, has everything to do with the word of God, has everything to do with relationship with Christ, has everything to do with praying, has everything to do with pleading the blood of Jesus, has everything to do with calling upon the Lord of hosts to send forth his angels, everything to do with the supernatural. They don't bring you to that reality because that reality takes the focus off of the man and his ministry and puts you in the word and in the kingdom mindset. That's why churches don't like these things. They don't like it because they say, oh, well, people won't give anymore because they're going to be spending too much time buying beans and bullets. No, that's a lie. I can stand up before you and tell you right now, since we have preached this message of his kingdom coming, and we've preached this message about reality, and we've been truthful and transparent to this nation and the world, the Lord has blessed this ministry beyond our imaginations and comprehensions. God did this. Not one family, not one person, not a corporation, not a denomination, and definitely not no bishop. God has done it. God has made a way. Isn't somebody glad for that? Our boast is not in ourselves and anything else, but the truth is this, the message of Jesus Christ is a message of great hope, yes, but it's also a message of reality that he is coming and that this whole thing gets burned up, baby. This whole thing gets burned with a fervent fire. Fervent heat is coming. But in America, we resist this because we don't want to lose what we have. But the Bible clearly tells us that if we would carry our cross, if we would die daily, if we would give up these things, that we would inherit the kingdom of God and we would make an exchange with God, our pitiful little stuff, amen, for his beauty and mansions and life everlasting. The exchange seems to be unfair when you really look at it. But our gospel preachers and our churches have brought us to a place to where we live a fabricated lifestyle. We live a life of imagination and imagery of self and keeping all that we possibly can. And whatever I can grab is mine. I want to remind you, I've been to many funerals. I put many people in the grave, not I, but I've spoken, oh, and I should say that again, lest I be wanted. That's a uh-oh right there. But I've been there when they went into the grave, and I'm here to tell you the only thing that they took with them was nada. If you don't understand that interpretation, that is nothing. Nits. Isn't that Russian? Nits. Nothing. Kneel. Didn't take a thing. I saw a person buried with an item one time. They buried him with, what are you putting that in there with them for? They're not going to take that with them. We're not Egyptians. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. You ain't carrying nothing with you. Well, I'm gonna get buried in my car, dummy. Just dummy. Yeah, no, let me drive it. I'll show you how to drive it. Until it's my time, we'll give it to somebody else. But they don't take anything. But the Christian mindset, the American mindset, really the world mindset, is that we just get, and don't worry about eternity and don't worry about the end times when you're watching the revelation road be revealed right before your eyes. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that these are the last days. And you say, how can that be with everything going on? Because I read Christian opinion papers and I read blogs and I read these guys that are in high places, and the way that they act and the way they put their trust and political powers and political entities and agendas, it just amazes me. And I say, how in the world do you have reverend in front of your name? How in the world are you educated in the Bible and you have this kind of mindset? I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a part of certain parts of society and be a part of movements and be an activist and all those things. I got that, and I understand there are many spokes to a wheel. There are many avenues. There's many branches to a tree. But when you lead the body of Christ by mass into a position of deception and keep them away from the reality of the hour that is taking place and give them a false hope, I've got an issue with that. I've got an issue and I have to say something. I have to declare and decree that you are a Hananiah. And this was Hananiah in his mission and his mandate. Are you still in the Bible? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. I did it. Oh, God's going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And you're going to hear that? Oh, you've been hearing it for the past 3 years. In fact, I don't think any person in office ever stops campaigning. They'd probably have a campaign sticker on their coffin. Just campaigning, man. Just like a preacher taking up offering for eternity, you have a politician that's all he's going to do is campaign. But you're going to hear it even worse throughout this year, man. The best is yet to come, and we've got all this under control, and, you know, this is going to be great, and things have never been so wonderful since I showed up. If I said that as a preacher, y'all would laugh me off the stage. But how come it is in the political world we can have stunning Steve, we can have all these things, we can have all these answers, and the church backs it up and totally throws caution to the wind, totally throws scripture out, totally throws morality out, totally throws out righteousness and holiness, and we follow an agenda because it sounds good to us. And that's what we want to hear, preacher man. We don't want to hear the reality of what's in your hands called the Bible. We don't want to hear that reality. We want to hear what our future is because it matters to us. No, you don't want to know your future because the Bible declares what the future is. The Bible declares that we're going to go through hell and high water. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through testings. The Bible declares if you're going to be righteous, you're going to suffer persecution. We don't know persecution yet in America. We don't totally understand what it's like to lose these freedoms that we have been given. And I can hear somebody's mind just say, well, that's why we got to vote this way. That's why we got to vote that way. I know it. I can hear it. And you, sir, and you, ma'am, are full of propaganda. You don't understand the word. You don't understand that the enemy is going to come against the church. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he prevails against the saints. How dare you? I can see it now, putting up their crosses and throwing holy water at me. How dare you say that? My American Bible don't say that. No, but the Bible says it. Your Bible tells you that you will face these things. Your Bible tells you that one day people will lose their head for this gospel. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you're not over in Africa right now. You're not over in certain parts of the world where Christians are dying daily. Are you here? And it's not because of a political party or entity that is keeping us from those things. It is God Almighty and the timing of God. But I'm here to tell you as a watchman and prophesy and declare and decree that there's coming that day when all of that protection will leave us. It's happening even now. It has nothing to do with politics. It's prophetic. But this goes against the grain and the backbone of our nation by what we've been taught by our forefathers and by our educators about our nation. But the truth is found in the Word of God, and I will believe this word over any propaganda video I ever see of politics. I will believe this word over any history book, because where are the history books of Rome? Where are the history books of Greece and Persia? Where are the realities of these nations? They're gone. Their testimony may be written down for us to look back, but the voices are silent. And nation after nation that has turned away from God and has rejected him has lost its position in the world. It is a very arrogant attitude, a very prideful attitude to stand up and say, you can't touch this. You can't destroy me. You can't take me down. The Bible is very plain about it. What does he say to them? He says in verse 3, within 2 full years will I bring again into this place. Everybody say this place. See, pride has a destination. Pride has a possession. Pride says, I'm going to do it in this place. The false prophet says, I'm going to do it in this place. I don't care what's going on everywhere else, but in this place, we're going to be blessed. I don't care what's happening in the nations of the world, but in this place, we're going to be blessed. Did you know right now we're watching absolutely apocalyptic things take place in our world? We're watching locusts that has been prophesied in the Bible, ravishing countries, their food crops, sometimes as fast as 30 seconds. The locusts are eating up crops. Well, that's always happened, Pastor. We've always had locusts, not like this. Not when the United Nations is saying between now and June, they can multiply by 500 times. Honey, that ain't no joke. That's not a movie scene. That's not a video game. That is the B-I-B-L-E coming out right in front of you. That's the Bible being revealed, and you can't legislate telling the locusts to stop. You can't do anything but pray. You can campaign all you want. They eat you. Then the emperor would have no clothes. Anybody here today? They're doing everything they possibly can to stop these locusts to the point they're using machine guns. I kid you not. Read about it. If you just get your head out of the campaign trail and you listen to this, it is absolutely, they're shooting machine guns. Now, I'd like to do it. Frank's with me. I mean, I'd like to do it. I just to shoot a machine gun. It didn't do hardly anything. 30 seconds. That's the way some of y'all pray, 30 seconds. Is anybody here? I notice I backed up. Tomatoes can only go so far. And we're watching it take place, and it's going to get worse in the world. And these are all part of the revelations of the last days. But we have people that stand in pulpits and say, oh, this is just, don't worry about it, man. This is just some eco thing, man. This is something freaking out. Al Gore was right. I'm telling you. It's the spirit of Hananiah that is leading people away. And then they go to the other side of the thing that, well, it's doom and gloom, and all you're doing is bringing people into depression. Honey, I am looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am looking for my redemption. I am looking to see my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm looking for my mansion and the glory and the hills of God. I'm looking for my Savior and my Redeemer. I'm not trying to save this broken old junky car called the world. We'll save people. Save their souls from a devil's hell. Going back to my point about trying to carry things. That's you trying to just carry stuff with you. Gather and gain and build another shed and build another barn so you can have more stuff. You know what I've learned about stuff? The more stuff I get, the more responsible I am. And the more responsible I am, the less time I have for anything. So what is it worth when you burn up and burn out? You just going to hand it to somebody else? Probably give it to somebody that like you. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. How many liars sit in the lawyer's office? I sure do miss him. How much do you leave? Spell my name right. You spell million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Listen to this. Stay with me. Within 2 full years, I will bring again this place all the vessels. Everybody say all. Oh, yeah, all. I love it. I love it. All. Everybody going to have a new Cadillac. Everybody going to have a Purdue chicken in your pot. Not a pilgrim's pride. You're going to have a Purdue chicken. Everybody going to have the finest of this, and everybody going to have a plasma TV. I'm going to tell you something. If China don't get healed, you ain't going to have nothing. If China don't get healed, you're going to be talking with a string and a can. Hello, Ma, can you hear me? Ma, can you hear me? You better go buy you a pigeon. You ain't going to have an iPhone. You're going to have a pigeon phone. We're going to start seeing families move closer together now. You can forget the internet. You can forget a lot of stuff. You can forget rice cookers. I'm telling you the whole thing. You know it's the truth. And I'm making light of it, but I'm not making light of the situation that they're going through and what's happening there concerning the church and the people. It's horrible. But Mr. Hananiah said he's going to bring it all back. We're going to bring all the jobs back. Oh, you're so cute. You're just so cute. And people just such knuckleheads. We're going to be self-sufficient. We're going to bring all the jobs back and the factories back. We're going to bring all this stuff back. We're just going to be this. We're going to be the top dog. We're going to be number one. We're going to be all this and all that. Just a bag of chips, man. We're going to be it. This world is interdependent. We're interlocked. And to say that that can be done is to deny scripture. It's to deny revelatory fact of the last days. And it's to deny prophecy that God himself through his son Jesus Christ prophesied that there would be a one world system. And you gullible Christians who are in the political parade following behind, deny God in truth when you support entities that are at opposition with truth. Now, you probably never heard it told you that way, but that's the truth. Ha! That's going to take you about 6 days to figure out what I just said. What did he say? Rewind that again, babe. Bing! Some of y'all, the light just went on. Some people need a new bulb. Are you here? Some need to just plug it in. And we see these things, but because we're Americans and we have this American mindset and we have been marketed to death, we have so much commercialization, we don't have brain matter anymore. That when we hear things we want to hear and they program us to where when we hear them, we go, yeah, that's it, that's the truth. That's the truth, man. I'm following that. That's the truth. That's the way I'm going. And you're at opposition with God, and you don't even know it. I'm talking to you, church. I'm talking to you, Americanized church. I'm talking to any church anywhere in the world today. And then people get mad at me and write me misspelled letters. Dumb letters, what I call them, Flo. Dumb letters. Showing me you got a GED, maybe. When that little line comes underneath the word in red, that means misspelled. Click the right button and it'll tell you the right word. They make it easy for us. Some of y'all are like, what is that? You got to have a computer to know what I'm talking about. It's called autocorrect. They made it for me. My wife for years has written my letters. And she said, that's pig Latin. She's like, I didn't know you was a Greek Hebrew scholar. I said, I didn't know I was either. I didn't even know how to spell phophoethith. Y'all here today. Y'all rough, man. This is a rough crowd today. Y'all must not have got much sleep Friday to Saturday. I will say this, just to lighten it up, as I was ending my prayer, those that were watching and those that were here, not in a coma somewhere, I kept saying evening and morning at the same time. I didn't know what day it was. I said, it's been a great evening. Great morning. Thanks for praying this evening. Morning. Is anybody here? Where was I? Verse 3. I'm going to bring it all back. And when we hear what we want to hear, we drop our convictions as Christians. We drop our ability to not understand the word of God. And we become defenseless and we become followers of a mantra and a narrative, as I began in the beginning of my message. We follow the Pied Piper and we leave truth. And when you leave truth, you open yourself up and you become vulnerable to being deceived. Because you want to believe something so bad. I read a commentary, and I'm not going to bring out the name, but I read a commentary of a particular evangelical leader. Who mentioned the very fact that this particular president would vote for a gay president himself. That he has no problem casting that vote, even though the person is a sodomite. Let's just be plain. You can make it politically correct all you want. The Bible calls him a sodomite. And then the person writes in this op-ed that it's okay for him to feel that way because he has anti-LGBT barbecue views and policies, so that justifies him for wanting to put somebody in office and give them a stamp of approval. And I read that and I almost, that's a good word, throw up is nice in church. Launch, I used that last week. I almost launched. How about heaved? That's nice. That was politically correct. I almost heaved. And I read this and I said, this is bipolar. This is insanity. This is your modern preachers today who are so mesmerized by an agenda that you are basically saying the person gets a pass at disagreeing with God, but supposedly is doing God's principle. Are you confused yet? And so I should support and have no problem with their personal convictions and opinions because they're only going after the bad, bad stuff and not the small, mild, bad stuff. So as I'm ripping out the rest of my hair, don't worry, I'm growing more. And you'll need surgery to fix your issues. Are you here? I can just buy one and paste it. As I was pulling out the rest of my hair and looking for someone else's hair I could pull out, Jennifer's like, no. Goldilocks, no. It hit me and I made this statement. I said this, I said, well, you know what that's like? That's like saying, I support that murderer, but I cannot support that serial killer. That's what it is. He only killed one. I'm okay with that. This guy killed 30. That's horrible. Are you listening to me? It's crazy. It's life upside down. We're living by the roots.
Because we have an agenda and we want to keep this American ride going. And someone says, what's wrong with that, Pastor? What's wrong with it? It is in opposition to the Word of God. And God says that it's going to come to pass exactly like He said. And therefore, I can't act like it's something else. I can't act like I get an American Bible, an American scenario. Let's see what Hananiah does and how this makes all sense here in just a minute. You imagine that. Going to give somebody a pass because it's not so bad. Within 2 full years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring them again to this place. Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Here again, Hananiah says, I'm going to bring them all back. I'm going to make the nation great again. I'm going to make the world great again, and I'm going to throw in a bonus. Don't you love how they give you a bonus? We're going to cut taxes. That's my money. We're going to give you a break. That's our stuff. We're going to ease up on this and ease up on that. We already own it. But Hananiah says, I'm going to give you a bonus here. We're going to bring back all these captivities, all these captives. We're going to bring everything back to you. Verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words of which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon unto this place. Jeremiah said, I agree with you. I'd love for that to be so. No different than I've said from this pulpit many, many times. I don't desire for any of this to come to pass. I don't desire for the craziness that's taking place in our country. I don't want it to end. I don't want the journey to end. I don't want any of my freedoms taken. I don't want anything to change the way I'm living today. I don't want to. But it will. And for me to deny it is to deny God. Because I'm at opposition with His word. But to accept it is to live by faith, Brother Tony. To accept it is to be a person of transparency and to say, God, I don't like it, but I love you. I don't want this to happen, but I trust you and I lean not towards my own understandings, but all of my ways I acknowledge you and you shall direct my path because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I trust you. But I don't like it. You can love God and not like life. You can love God and not like things that come to your life. And by faith, you overcome those things. By faith, the greater one inside of you helps you overcome those issues. The faith that overcomes the world. That's what's inside of you today. That's what's inside of me today. That's why we need to rise up as the body of Christ and say, come what will, come what may, but I will serve my God and I will follow the Lamb wherever He goes. It don't make no difference, but I will not deviate from truth. I will not deviate from the reality of what God says and follow a false interpretation of some charlatan that has an agenda. Call the spade a spade. Call them what they is. Call them what they are. Be true to yourself and the convictions of God and quit trying to cover for everybody else because you got an agenda. See, we don't hear this much preaching anymore. We don't hear a lot of preaching because everybody wants to be politically correct and don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I just want to change your mind. I just want to get you to have the mind of Christ. I want you to get it to see the way God sees it. I would trust God over any politician, over any preacher, any day. Are you still here? Check your neighbor for a pulse. Even if they don't, if something ain't moving, don't tell me. Watch. We'll just raise him from the dead. Verse 7. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word. He said, I heard your word, Hananiah. I'd love for that to be so, son. I'd really like for it to be the best time ever. I would love to see everything great again. But right now, I don't see it, bro. I don't see it happening. But I sure would love it. But let me tell you what the Lord says. Nevertheless, hear you now this word that I speak in thine ears. And in the ears shall the people, in the ears of all the people. He said, I'm not even going to just tell you, Hananiah. I'm going to be bold enough and brash enough to stand up and tell everybody that will listen to me what thus saith the Lord is. The prophets that have been before me and thee of old prophesy both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. And Jeremiah goes back a little bit in history and there's a pedigree and says there's been a whole lot of folks before me that have declared and decreed to nations of the world. And it came to pass. The prophet which prophesies of peace, and when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Folks, when are we going to start believing Jesus, the prophet of all prophets? When are we going to start believing the one who prophesied and said this would take place and that would take place and it did? Why don't we start believing the prophet who said that you can crucify me, but on the third day I will raise from the dead? Why don't we follow the one who declared in Matthew chapter 24 exactly what we're watching today and didn't need CNN or Fox or any other news outlet? He knew the news before it ever became news, and we're living that reality. Jeremiah said, if that's a real prophet and it comes to pass, follow him. But yet we put politicians and we put preachers, we put people in position and we follow them to the edge of the abyss and we reject Christ. I'm making an accusation and a charge, an indictment against the church for many folks when you do not follow the revelation, the revelational truth, the end time revelation, and the wisdom of God and the scriptures that are revealed, speaking of and prophesying of a day that we're living in. You reject him and you follow an agenda. You, sir, and you, ma'am, are in opposition with God. And just because you're an American don't mean nothing. Need to get you a backbone at Walmart. It doesn't mean anything. This virus, this plague, this part of judgment is in our nation and will continue in our nation. You say, what do you do about it? You plead the blood of Jesus. That's what you do. You speak Psalms 91. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're not afraid of anything. You declare and decree the word of the Lord and you cast the devil out. That's what you do. You walk in the power that God has given you. You walk in authority and you walk by faith. And you don't shun people. But this thing that's taking place, and I know many people are trying to come to the bottom of it, you know, is it a bioweapon? Is it this? That? Come, give me a break. It is absolutely manufactured. But more than trying to follow a trail, we need to go to the Word of God and recognize and realize that in the last days, there would be pestilence. There would be diseases. There would be the writers of Revelation. And I don't have time to teach that at this particular moment, but it is taking place in our world, and we feel that we are insulated from the world, but we're not. It's judgment. Whether by design of human hands or demon entities, It is the Word of God. And to listen to somebody in position of power and a preacher or anybody else with the ability to stand at a platform and be at opposition with the Word of God brings you at opposition with Him, God Himself. And to deny. Is anybody here? You know that we're being lied to. Not only by politicians, but by our preachers. We're being lied to because they don't want folks to panic. But I'm here to tell you that judgment is on the earth. It's been on the earth. It's just now multiplying. And what will the American person do when the world is shattered and your world has changed and you're not prepared? You need to watch some videos out of China if you have the stomach and the ability to see what it's like to be quarantined. 760 million people are being restricted in their movements. That's a lot of folk. And you think for a moment as you get in your lazy boy today and think how Bubba's going to act when Bubba can't go to the store and get him some beer. Can't get him some tobacco. She can't go get her makeup. Or whatever the scenario is of our normal daily life that we love to live in freedom, in which I agree I love and don't want it curtailed, not one iota. I'd like some more, if you don't mind. I come to like it. But I cannot be at opposition with God and deny what is taking place in our world and watching a plague. Over 64,000 cases worldwide that we know of. And that number is way low. I know that. Please don't write to me. I don't have time to give every statistics and fight every battle. I'm just telling you it's propaganda. They've even admitted it with their own mouths that they don't want to put panic in America, but they're already preparing for a pandemic. They just don't want you to freak. I'm telling you as a pastor to be stable and to be full of faith and know that God be with you and God is for you and walk by faith and not by sight. Plead the blood of Jesus. Put on the whole armor of God. Speak the word of the Lord. Put his name everywhere you can in your life. Rebuke that devil. This is why the Lord has been encouraging me to speak revival to you. To stir your spirits up. Just because it is the last days and just because it is written does not mean you have to be a victim. You become victorious in it. We overcome our enemies while we're in battle. Say, you afraid, Pastor? Not at all. I'm preparing for a harvest. I'm preparing for a revival. I'm preparing for the manifestation of the power of God. I'm preparing for this to be a city of refuge as we watch people coming looking for protection and looking for provision and looking for food. That's what I'm looking for. We need to pray over our communities and say not one moment, not one arrow that flies by day, no pestilence, can't come in the city limits, can't come in our town, can't come in my neighborhood, can't come in my trailer park, can't come in my apartment, can't come where I live, can't touch my family, can't go into schools. Devil, you got to stop, man-made or not. You're not coming in here. But to deny it makes you at opposition with God. To follow the mantra of a campaign, of an entity, makes you at opposition with God and makes you ignorant and arrogant. I'm reaching somebody. I know I am. I know the Holy Ghost is touching somebody. Because if I can just get your brain unscrambled, God will work on your heart. We can just get them scrambled eggs turned into an omelet. We can get the rest worked out. I got about another hour to go. So we had all night prayer. I don't know why you're all tired. We can do this thing. We can do this thing. Come on. Church need to wake up. You need to go get you some oil. You need to learn how to lay hands on things. Start laying hands on your family. Start laying hands on your home. Start laying hands on your animals. Start declaring, decreeing the word of the Lord. Take Psalms 91 and declare it. Instead of waiting. Waiting for somebody to come answer you. Answer your cry and help you. Those people in China are in desperate situation. I'm asking everybody in the body of Christ to pray for the Chinese people. You're not watching the videos. If you're just getting a glimpse on television, you're a little bit of television news, you're not getting it. You need to see what's really happening by people who are leaking information out there. Watching people tied up like hogs, carried down the road to who knows where they're going. Shooting their animals. When some experts say it does not come that way, it can't be translated that way, but they're still doing it. Watch the video of people being shot on the streets because they would not go into quarantine. Literally, the policemen wearing full hazmat outfits went and shot them dead. Well, that can't happen in America. That can't. We wouldn't do that. We're too civilized. Our government would never do that. You forget history. You forget how we killed the Indians with biological warfare. Some of the first to ever do it. There's the devil dial 911 right there. Somebody's phone just went off. I love when technology agrees with the word of God, don't you? It can't happen, preacher. You don't understand. And God, we trust us on our dollar bill. You know the one that they use to roll up and snort cocaine with? That one. You know the one that we use to give the drug cartels and fight wars? And God, we trust, man. You're just crazy. No, Jeremiah spoke the word of the Lord. He spoke truth. And he said, those that speak the truth and it comes to pass, those are the ones that you are to believe. You could read the next couple verses, but verse 12, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off his neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah. That's what we're doing this morning. Go and tell Hananiah, verse 13, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make them yokes of iron. What does that mean, preachers? I bring this to a close in the next 2 hours. It means this. It means that I would have brought them to a lesser judgment, and it would have been easier for them to receive what I was going to do and the captivity and the punishment and the judgment. It would have been easier for them to bear it. But because you are a liar, Hananiah, and because you are a liar, preacher, and because you're a liar, so on and so forth, you have now turned over something that would have been easy on them and has now become hard, and it will be very difficult for them to survive and to succeed in what's coming. But know this, Mr. Hananiah, it will come to pass. You can break those yokes. You can call me a liar. You can slander me. You can do all that you want to do. You can even paint a beautiful picture of a new Jerusalem and a new wonderful kingdom. But it will not stop the word of the Lord. Red line. We're maxing things out. We're maxing our world out. We're maxing our time out. And yet people say everything is just wonderful. Let me read to you some statistics that I'm going to get out of your way, some headlines, things I think you need to know because most people do not get the truth. Listen to this and tell me we're not redlining right now. And take this, what I tell you, compared to what you're hearing and you've been hearing for the past, I don't care if it's been 20 years. So I'm not picking on your favorite pinata. Credit card debt in the U.S. has raised to a record $930 billion. $930 billion. Is anybody here? But we're monkey see, monkey do. We're watching our government just write checks out and credit cards and just doing everything they want to do. Why not do the same? It's a spirit. It's judgment that's upon the nation. It's judgment that's upon a house. Watch this. U.S. household debt exceeds $14 trillion for the first time. U.S. household debt. That means the entire nation of folks are broke, are into debt to $14 trillion. I smell toast. Oh, that's you thinking. Because that was me thinking. I was going, 14, what? That's a lot of money. I had to get Jennifer in there and I said, what does that mean? She says, we're in debt. Got it. I got it. I got it. That's why she got a degree. I got three. What, I got two or three? I don't know what I got, but no, seriously, $14 trillion and almost a trillion in credit card debt, and we're great? And we're better than them in India and other countries of the world? They may be living in a shack, but they ain't broke. In fact, Indian families teach their children how to keep gold. They do. I don't have time to get into all that, but they do. Why do you think they collect gold? Why do you think they're keeping it? Because that's an asset to them. We carry debt and junk. I got a new gadget. Oops, it broke. Just slide. Oh, no, chip it. You got a chip?
Yeah, it's right here in my forehead.
Y'all getting ornery. Y'all need more rest. $14 trillion, are you here? The total U.S. household debt rose by $601 billion in the fourth quarter from a year earlier, or 1.4%. Surpassing $14 trillion for the first time. That's $1.5 trillion above the previous peak in the third quarter of 2008. We ain't learned nothing. So how do you tell me we fine? How do you tell me everything's great? How do you tell me we're living the best life now when we're slaves? And somebody says, well, it's just debt. We can reprint. We can ask forgiveness. We can start over. We can reset. Honey, debt brings on all kinds of doors open to the devil. That's why folks killing themselves. It opens up the pit because debt is a microcosm. It is an effect of what's happening deep in the heart of humanity. And we believe everything's fine because we have an agenda. Over in Texas, a pastor, youth pastor, kills his wife, 11-year-old son, goes and tries to strangle his daughter in college and shoots himself. And you're going to tell me everything's fine? Nearly one in three Americans, watch this, hold on to your wig or your weave, whatever you brought today. Nearly one in three Americans, what is that, 32% somewhere in there, 37 somewhere in there? 33, let's be exact. I live in the world of exact, because every time I say something at home, no, no, quite contrary to what you're thinking. I don't mind it. It keeps me straight. But listen to this. Nearly one in three American workers run out of money before payday. Listen to this. This is what's going to get you. Even those earning over $100,000 a year. Is anybody, do you have a brain? Do you have a brain? And you tell me the next puppet that comes down the road is going to fix this? You can't fix stupid. That's ignorance gone to seed. You give me $100,000, I'll show you what to do with it. I surely ain't going to come to the end of my paycheck needing more money. I live with Sister Frugal. Queen Clarence. I guarantee you, we're going to stretch that. Anybody here? Come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking. We're going to make a way when there seems to be no way. Give me the $100,000. But this just shows you, as I bring this to a close, it shows you the spirit of Hananiah. We are redlining everything. All systems are peaking red, and you go to tell me and lie to me that everything's fine. We can't even get our president and our people and officials and power to tell us how many troops were hurt in Iraq. Over 100 now with headaches. What an insult to any veteran and anybody who has received any type of injury of such severe concerning the mind and the brain. But we're covering, baby. We're covering because it fits our agenda. Let me tell you something. You can only cover for so long. You can only deny for so long these words that are written in red. You can only deny for so long and resist the prophetic reality of the end days for so long. He said in the beginning of this message, there's coming the shaking that will shake the core of the souls of men, and it is coming. And this plague and these financial crises and wars and all these things are just the tip of the iceberg. I'm not prophesying that. The Bible did. I'm not wishing it, but I accept it. It's the hour that we're living in. If you're watching right now, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day of salvation. Don't go to hell for anybody. Eternity is too long to be wrong. But you could be right with Christ, and all you have to do is receive him as your Lord and Savior. If you're backslidden, you're messing in things you shouldn't be messing with, come on. The Lord is waiting for you. All you got to do is repent, call upon his name, and he's right there. Those that are pastors that have been backslidden, God loves you. He's calling you for such a time as this. Father God, thank you for this message, red line. We are at the point of no return as a world, as a people. But Father, thank you that we can return to you and that you can protect us and provide for us. I pray for my brothers and sisters worldwide, those that are going through trials and tribulations, wherever they are. And I pray that the church would respond and be strong and give a helping hand in this hour. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.